Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. Now, today I'm preaching the second part of a two-part message entitled True Christian Warfare. I began it last week, and I urge you to get a copy. If you didn't hear last week's message, get a copy of that. Each message, anytime I preach a two or three or four-part message on this program, I try to make each program stand alone so that you won't be confused But there's a lot of information, and we're talking about the spiritual warfare that every true Christian must be engaged in while living in this world. It's not a fleshly warfare. It's not a carnal, as Paul said. It's not a physical warfare. It's never to be fought with our fists or with knives or with guns or even with tanks or weapons as such, but it's to be fought on the battlefield of the mind, the heart, the affections, the will, with the gospel, the sword of the Lord, the word of God. And that's what it is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that's the text I'm using. Look at verse 3 if you'd like to follow along, where the apostle writes, "For though we walk in the flesh," that is, the flesh there meaning the physical world, the physical body. And I mentioned this last week how sometimes the word flesh is a very, very interesting word for you to do a word study on if you have a concordance. But the flesh has to be defined. The word flesh has to be defined according to its context. Sometimes it refers to sinful, fallen human nature and the works of the flesh, the sinful desires, goals, motives, the sinful thoughts of a sinner. And sometimes it just refers to physical body. You see, there's nothing sinful in the physical body in and of itself. You see, but those who are in this world were born dead in trespasses and sins and have no spiritual life. That's our fall in Adam. We fell in Adam. When Adam fell, we fell. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 teaches us that. And other passages. In Adam all die, all whom he represented. And we fell into sin and death. And so what we have by nature as we're born dead in trespasses and sin is we're nothing but sinful flesh. Now that doesn't mean that this physical hand is sin. Now I can use this physical hand for sinful purposes. But the hand itself is not sinful. The sin is what comes out of the heart. That's what Christ taught. Remember, he told his disciples, it's not what goes in your mouth, what you drink, what you eat, that defiles you. Even what you see that defiles you. Now, there are things we should avoid, but you're not drinking a cup of sin or eating a loaf of sin. That's not what it is. I know sin is used metaphorically. There are symbols like leaven is sin, you know, things like that. Man drinks iniquity like water. Those are metaphors. But sin's what comes out of the heart. You see, our environment is not our problem. We're the problem. I'm the problem. And so this flesh here doesn't refer to sinful flesh. It refers to the physical. Christ had a physical body, and it says in Romans 1, I believe in verse 4, that either verse 3 or 4, he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. But his flesh was not sinful at all. He had no sin and knew no sin. So Paul says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not fight after the flesh, in the manner of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty," that in other words, they're not physical, It's not an atom bomb. It's not a tank, but it's powerful. It's the Word of God. He says, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And what are these strongholds? He says it in verse 5, casting down imaginations, thoughts, reasonings, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the Christian warfare described. Our weapon is the gospel of peace. Not the gospel that speaks peace to everybody now or makes you feel good about yourself, but the gospel of God's grace in Christ that shows a sinner like me, sinners like you, how God can be just to justify the ungodly. How is that possible? How God can take a sinner and in holiness and justice and righteousness and truth be merciful to that person, gracious and loving, and still be God. And the answer is the obedience of Christ. What is the obedience of Christ? That's His obedience unto death as the surety and substitute of His people, whereby their sins were imputed, charged, accounted to Him, and He went to the cross and paid their debt in full. The debt that they owed to God's justice was His debt. And He paid it in full, and thereby He brought forth a righteousness, an everlasting righteousness of infinite value, which is imputed to His people. Charged. You see, I stand before God, not in my own works, not even in my own faith. I stand before God in Christ, based on His righteousness alone, charged to me. My right and my title to heaven is the imputed righteousness of Christ. That's called the righteousness of God. And so when we preach the gospel, that's our weapon. And we aim it at the hearts. And we pray that God will do it. Well, that God will bring sinners to salvation. Well, in this matter of true Christian warfare, now I mentioned several verses about how Christians are to be peaceful people. Christianity is a true religion of peace. No one has any mandate or right or warrant or commandment from Christ to go out and harm anyone physically or to try to force anyone physically to believe. And I mentioned last week how people will talk about the Spanish Inquisition, how they physically tortured people and even killed people to get them to confess. My friend, that was not Christian at all. That was against Christianity. Those people were trying to play God. God said, vengeance belongs unto me, Him. Now, true Christians are to stand in opposition to all sin. But we have no warrant from Scripture to go out and take personal vengeance or to try to deliver justice ourselves individually. That's a person trying to play God. The Crusades. That wasn't a Christian effort. That was done in the name of Christianity, but it was false Christianity. And I mentioned the talk show host who was making the point, said, well, Hitler was a Christian. Hitler wasn't a Christian. He claimed to be, but he wasn't. Anybody who claims to be Christian and who goes out and tries to harm anybody in the name of Christianity is a lie. That's a false belief. Christ is the Prince of Peace. He tells us to follow peace. Yet there are scriptures that speak of a warfare, and I want you to see some of them. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, and I want you to look at verse 34. This is Christ teaching His disciples, and He's sending them out to preach the gospel, to preach the kingdom of God. And in Matthew 10 and verse 34, listen to what He says. He says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now, first of all, how does that fit with Luke chapter 2, for example, where it says, where the angel told the shepherds, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Well, the peace that he's talking about that accompanies the coming of Christ into the world and his doing his work of redemption in his obedience unto death, bringing peace by the blood of his cross, is not peace between nations. And it's not peace among individuals. It's peace with God. Peace with God. You see, by nature, we're at war with God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And the only way that Paul wrote about in Colossians 1, enemies in our minds by wicked works. And the only way that there's going to be peace between God and his people is for the ground of peace to be established. And that ground of peace is the blood of Christ, his righteousness imputed. But here he says, think not that I'm come to send peace. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now look what he's talking about now. Verse 35 of Matthew 10. For I'm come to set a man at variance, in opposition, against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes, a man's enemies, shall be they of his own household. But, he'd look at verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, what is he talking about there? Is he talking about that he sent you to go cause turmoil in your home, fight your father, draw fists and knives and all of... No, not at all. He's talking about the spiritual variance that will exist between his people in believing and preaching the gospel of peace and those who are in the world, even though they may be your physical relatives, who believe a false gospel or don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are in opposition to each other. Here's a son, for example, who hears the gospel of God's grace. And God the Holy Spirit invincibly calls him into the kingdom, gives him life, and calls him into the kingdom. And he goes home and he tells his father, Father, I've been saved. I know the Lord now, and here's what I believe. And the father says, oh, no, no, that's not the way. And there's a variance. There's an opposition. That's what Christ is talking about. Now, that opposition from the world will show itself in different ways to different degrees. Some will want to just ignore you. I don't want to hear any more about it. Some will grow angry. Look at what happened when Stephen, as recorded in Acts chapter 7, stood up and preached to his fellow Jews. At one time, Stephen and his fellow Jews were in fellowship with one another. But now Stephen preached a message that shed light on their false religion. And they picked up stones to stone him. Now Stephen was not to stand up before that group and throw stones at them. But they did him because of the gospel. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that Christians cannot defend themselves when attacked. But here's the point. Our warfare in this ministry of the gospel, the Christian's warfare in the ministry of the gospel, is not a physical warfare. It's a spiritual one. And you have to see it that way. Christ said, there's going to be opposition, even in your earthly family, between true Christians and those who do not believe. The Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Listen to this. He says, fight the good fight of faith. There's a fight, but it's a fight of faith. He says, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. in the book of Ephesians. Look there with me, Ephesians chapter 6. And in Ephesians chapter 6, the apostle is talking about the warfare, the Christian armor. And he says in verse 10, listen to this, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, I mentioned this last week, and we need to understand this. If a true Christian is going to really and successfully engage in the Christian warfare, he has to understand where the source of power is. And it's not in himself. It's in God. The power of his might. And Paul writes in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the connivings of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not in a physical warfare, you see, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so he lists the weapons here. Verse 14 of Ephesians 6. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth is our weapon. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, the soldier's breastplate. Let me say this. The loins girt about with truth. That girdle that the soldier put on held everything together and firm and intact. That's what truth does for the true Christian. We have the truth as it is in Christ of how God saves sinners. And then having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, whenever the enemy threw its hit the breast, tried to go after the heart with the sword, engage in the death blow, or the arrows come, or the spear come, that breastplate would turn that away. It's like the accusations of the devil. They won't stick because the breastplate of righteousness, and understand now, the breastplate of righteousness is not the breastplate of your or my good works. That the devil can knock a hole in that easily. The breastplate of righteousness is the righteousness of God in Christ imputed to us. Paul wrote, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. When the devil throws his darts, his arrows, his spears, his sword of accusation against the people of God, it's the breastplate of Christ's righteousness that turns him away. And so he says in verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's our testimony. The testimony of a true Christian. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Faithfulness. That is, now what is faithfulness? Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's faithfulness. And then he says, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts, the spears and arrows of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. We who are true Christians know what salvation is. It's of the Lord. It's not of me. I'm not saved because I cooperated with God or because I willed myself into heaven. I'm saved because God saved me. And somebody says, well, does he save you against your will? No, he changes your will. It's called conviction. That's what Holy Spirit conviction is. He changes your will to show you your sinfulness. I'm a sinner. And I deserve nothing but condemnation and eternal death. Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who would stand? Not me. Thank God. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. My only hope is to stand before God in Christ. That's my salvation. And that's the helmet that I wear. That's where my thoughts ought to be all the time. Wherewith you shall, and he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, there's the power of it, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer, verse 18, and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's the nature of this warfare. You see, the Christian is in a warfare. There's no doubt about that. And it's a daily warfare. It never lets up. There's no respite from this. But it's not a physical warfare. It's a spiritual one. Using the weapon, the sword of the Lord, the word of God, the gospel, aimed at the thoughts, the intents, the imaginations, the heart, the affections, the will. And so what do we do in engaging, when we go to battle, what do? We preach the gospel. We witness the gospel. And we pray for the salvation of sinners and the preservation of God's people. And yes, we walk according to the truth. What are the three great enemies of a Christian? Well, I've mentioned them. There's the world, there's the flesh, and there's the devil. Think about it. What is he talking about when he talks about the world? You know, the word world, in the New Testament especially, but all through the Bible, has so many different meanings that it can only be determined by its context. Most people will go to the word world and they'll just say, well, that means every individual without exception. No, it doesn't. In 1 John 5:19, for example, the Apostle John wrote, we are of God. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about Christians, believers, sinners saved by grace, those who stand before God, washed in the blood of Christ and clothed in his righteousness. We are of God. Those who have been born again by, they were fallen, listen, they're sinners, fell in Adam, born dead in trespasses and sins. But God chose them before the foundation of the world. Their names were written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb slain. And their names were written there from the foundation of the world. But they fell in Adam. I fell in Adam. They were born dead in trespasses and sins. I was born dead in trespasses and sins. Sinners saved by grace. But God chose them. Christ redeemed them. He died for his sheep, his church, his people, my friend. He shed his blood for the people that God gave him. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So we are of God, John wrote in 1 John 5:19. But he said, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now that literally would be lieth in the wicked one, the devil. So the world there doesn't mean everybody without exception. It means those who are connected with Satan in a spiritual dead way, in unbelief and in opposition to the true Christian. The world often refers to the fallen, sinful, unregenerate, unbelieving world. And what did Christ say to his disciples in their warfare against the world? Remember he told him, he said, marvel not if the world hates you. They hated me before they hated you. He even went on to tell him, he said, they'll throw you out of their churches. They'll throw you out of their synagogues. When John 16 and verse 33, here's what he says. He says, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Now the true Christian has peace in Christ. That's peace by the blood of his cross. That's reconciliation to God based on his righteousness imputed. But we're not at peace with the world. He says, in the world, verse 33 of John 16, in the world you shall have tribulation, trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's why he says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Don't conform to the world. And listen to me. Certainly we would say, well, we're not to be conformed to the world in its morality or immorality and perversions. Don't be conformed to that. Don't unite to that. Don't promote that. Don't put your stamp of approval on the world's immorality. But listen, don't be conformed to the world's religion either. The world's ethic. Because that is deadly. That is deadly. So we're against the world. There's a fight against the world. But also, the true Christian is at war against the flesh. Now, let me put this in perspective for you. Look over at Romans chapter 7. When we say the Christian is at war with the flesh, you know what we're actually saying? The true Christian is at war with himself. It's an inner warfare. If I'm a true Christian, which I believe I am, I'm at war against myself, my flesh. And that is sin that still dwells in me. That's the corruption and the contamination. Evil thoughts, evil motives, evil goals, lust, all of those things. Covetousness. And it's a daily warfare. Paul, in Galatians chapter 5, called it a warfare of the flesh against the spirit. You war against the flesh. And I'm in a daily warfare. Every true Christian is. Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 7. He says in verse 22, listen to this, Romans 7, 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The inward man is Paul's spirituality, spiritual life within him. His new heart, the new life, the new spirit. That's what that is. And that new life, that new heart given him by God in the new birth gives him a desire to honor God in Christ, to glorify God, to follow Christ, to love Christ, to believe in him. But he says in verse 23, I see another law in my members, the members being the physical body. And he says, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And here's the victory, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Christians are at war with the devil. We've already read in Ephesians 6 how that battle is won by pleading Christ. I hope this message has been helpful to you. And please join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.